Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Gustav Gressel, a Russia expert and acting director of the Wider Europe program at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Dr. Gressel, Turkey, a NATO member, seems interested in Russian warplanes after Washington turned down a Turkish order of F-35 stealth fighters out of displeasure over Ankara's purchase of a Russian-made air defense system. Now Egypt is said to be interested in Russian planes, reversing a 45-year trend that weaned it away from the Soviet weapons orbit in the 1970s. What is going on?
In Turkey, it was basically the attempted coup d'etat, which Erdogan still suspects the U.S. deep state of having a role. Erdogan, from his own understanding of how a state works, has little understanding of rule of law, and he thinks that the U.S. not extraditing Abdullah Gülen is a sign that the U.S. is somehow complicit, that if Turkey wants him to have extradited, why these stupid courts in the U.S. Don't allow this is basically an affront to him and has nothing to do with rule of law. We in Europe have the same experience. It's very hard to explain to Erdogan that different layers of administration have competences on their own and that the chancellor can't just ring at some court and tell the judge which verdict to give. Because it works like that in Turkey, and he expects that every country works like this. Here, of course, Russia is much more similar than Turkey, and hence Erdogan and Putin have quite a common understanding how to manage administration and how to manage courts and how to make people behave. So they are constantly frustrated by the West and is suspicious of it, and hence turns away from NATO and the US because he thinks that they will destabilize his rule. Egypt was never so big in the Western tent. It was during the Cold War, but still had managed to preserve some relations with the Soviet Union. They made the peace with Israel, which was the main reason to grant them foreign military aid. And the foreign military aid was then used to purchase American US-based weapon systems. Still, the Egyptian army at the same time had used, because it was a former Soviet client, a lot of Soviet weapon systems that they used in parallel, so the Egyptian military was quite used to work both systems. Still in 2011, with the Arab Spring, the American very muted reaction to the Arab Spring, where the Egyptian military, that had been the most pro-American faction of Egypt society in the past, was very disappointed that the Americans, for reasons of human rights, democracy, etc., did not back the military from the outset, that there was a lot of sympathy for the protesters and for Morsi, which they regard as Muslim Brotherhood and domestic policy enemy. So they were dissatisfied with the American policy, then a bit insecure how to handle the Americans, how to read them. Russia had attractive principles, that is stability above all, authoritarian stability, support for strongmen, effective government in the terms of also effective repression. So this is appealing to Sisi. And for Sisi, then also, if he's not very sure where the Americans are going and what they're promoting and what their red lines would be, to have another pillar of support, not to rebuff the Americans up front like Erdogan does now, but have many vectors open, and in case one of your supporters does not agree with you, to have others.
You are listening to Dr. Gustav Gressel, a Russia expert and acting director of the Wider Europe program at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Dr. Gressel, Russian President Vladimir Putin seems to have strengthened his position in Syria by agreeing to joint patrols with the regime troops of the country's northern border with Turkey. He was recently in two Gulf states. What is his Mideast strategy? What's brewing there?
To be honest, he actually successful beyond his own expectations. When Putin entered the war in Syria, it was about driving the U.S. back, containing U.S. influence as much as possible, and trying to grant Assad survival. And it was not much more than that. Now he's confronted with Trump's withdrawal order and has actually to manage the, I would not say peace, but the kind of equilibrium of the fighting forces on the ground, because the overall goal, that is the American exit, has been more or less reached. So he's now actually in a bit of a trouble to make up on that, because he has so far won the war, but he has not created any sustainable peace. And his diplomacy to the regions, his basically listening to the other Arab leaders, to the Iranians, is exploring on which kind of basis one could make the other states accept a Syria that is ruled by Assad and manage the outfall of the war. Russia still lacks the financial resources to rebuild Syria. You have still sizable non-governmental opposition forces that are military armed. The Syrian Democratic Forces in the east, aka the Kurds, are the most prominent, but you also have a variety of Sunni rebels, some supported by Turkey, others supported by the Gulf states. So while he has reached his overall goal of kicking the Americans out and making Assad the most powerful actor, it's still not yet a done deal, and he has to explore ways how to make his deal.
Dr. Gustav Gressel, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.